This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, inshallah, we'll go ahead and get started. All right. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, assalatu wassalam, ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Inshallah, everyone is doing well, trying to stay in good spirits and good hopes, inshallah. At the end of the day, right, this is what makes Muslims who we are, is that we are constantly hopeful in the face of adversity, in the face of sometimes what other people would define as hopelessness. Muslims are always people who show their true colors in the times of adversity and trials and tribulations. And so we continue to be people of hope, people of tawakkul, people of taqwa. And this is how we find our solace in this dunya, right? Until obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the akhirah. Inshallah, as we always have for the past few weeks, we will end our session with a short dua for Palestine. Just because this is, you know, I had to clarify a couple of things that I said the past few weeks in terms of, you know, some of the feelings that people have been having these past 3-4 weeks of guilt. You know, we live in like a very comfortable, a very, you know, some could say easy, right? You know, life and, you know, just the general circumstances of our lives. And I know a lot of people may feel super guilty because of it. I feel guilty. I feel bad that, you know, this is, you know, something that I'm in a state of while people overseas in Gaza and Palestine are going through so many difficulties in their lives. But I try to turn the perspective a little bit for people who feel that way, because it's not about us feeling guilty because we live a life here in America where, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a somewhat easier life, right? People who live with food and basic necessities and, you know, peace and tranquility overall. But because of that reality, we need to understand that Allah has put us in a position where we can peacefully pray and make dua and give in other ways, right? So yes, shaitan can make a person feel extremely guilty for, you know, living in America and going through the eases that they go through. But at the end of the day, you know, our job as Muslims is to make sure that we turn whatever state that we are in towards something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. And that's how we do it, right? We live in America, and yes, there are eases, there are luxuries, but at the end of the day, we use those eases and those luxuries to do things that perhaps Allah has put other people in positions not to do. They may not be able to do it like we do. And so our jobs are not just, you know, easy. It's Allah will hold us more accountable for things that, you know, He gave us the opportunity to do with ease in our lives. So, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and continue on. Today's section is all about traveling and journeying the path to Allah, okay? And I say that very, very specifically because journeying and traveling is a very interesting kind of, you know, situation, a very interesting state as a Muslim. Journeying is not easy. Journeying always, you know, tells you a lot about who you are. How many of y'all have ever traveled with a person or a group of people and you really find out who they are? Sharing a room with them or sharing a car with them or sharing a plane with them, you realize, you know, this person's true nature, because journeying, there's always adversity. There's always discomfort, right? There's actually a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said that there is a portion of punishment in journeying, right? That journeying or traveling is a portion of punishment, meaning that people are away from their comfort. People are away from things that they consider very, very, normal for them. They are put in a situation where they are not necessarily the most comfortable. They're vulnerable, right? So journeying is something that's interesting. But the path of journeying to Allah is something that really tells a person about who they are and their relationship with God. You know, when a person's stationary and they are expecting everything to come to them, it's one conversation. But when a person is actively searching for Allah in their life, it's a whole different conversation. You're constantly out. You are journeying. You are traveling to Allah. What does that look like for a person, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, inshallah. So Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he begins by quoting a famous pious person by the name of Khudayd al-Asari. He said that every person who loves desires to meet his or her beloved. So love your Allah and travel to him with a most beautiful journey, neither arduous nor lax. Okay, I'll define what arduous means because everyone's over here like, what? So arduous means like something that's like strenuous, something that's difficult, right? So he says that every person who has ever loved someone has desired to meet that beloved of theirs, right? Anyone who ever loved anything in their life, they'd always want to get closer to that love. And this is why love is such a strong emotion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And anything that is a strong emotion, it could either be good or it could be terribly bad, right? Something that is a strong emotion could actually benefit you, and something that's a strong emotion can terribly harm you, right? Extreme happiness can be very foolish at times, right? But happiness can lead to some beautiful moments in life. Extreme grief or extreme anxiety can harm a person greatly. But being cautious sometimes actually can be good for a person, right? The opposite of, you know, being reckless, right? And so he says that every person who's experienced love, they yearn to meet their beloved, right? And when you look at, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always excited to meet Allah. And this is why, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, I'm not sure how many people know this, but when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, Allah actually gave him a choice. Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a choice whether he would want to continue living on to like a great old age, or whether he would choose to meet Allah in the age that he was at that time, which was 63 when he passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually chose to pass away that year. He chose to meet Allah. So any person of piety, they've never shied away from meeting Allah. They never shied away from journeying to Allah. And so he says, so love your Allah, love your Lord, and travel to him with the most beautiful journey. A journey that is neither difficult, it's not burdensome on you, nor is it just chill and laid back. Because a person who wants to meet someone that they love, they're not just going to take forever. I want you guys to think about this. I want you to think about a moment in your life where you have been very excited to meet somebody that you care about very deeply, right? A friend, a family member, they were coming into town, or, you know, you were going out of town to visit them. Most likely, you were not just kind of like chilling and laying back, right? You wanted to meet them as soon as you could, especially if you have a friend that may live, you know, elsewhere, and they're coming in to visit you, and you want to go pick them up from the airport, and the minute that they land, you want to be there. You're not going to wait till they text you that they landed. You're going to watch that airline, you know, number, that flight number, and you're going to kind of track it, and you want to go and meet them there. So you're not lax about it. You're excited about it. You're doing things to get ready for it without having to be asked. It's always the case that people who wait around for that person to text them that they landed, most likely you're not excited to pick that person up from the airport. You just have to do it, right? But a person who you're extremely excited to meet, you're already going to be there. You're going to be there ready for them before they even walk out. It's like Muslim family members who say bye to their families at the airport. They don't leave until you're past TSA, right? You're like at the gate. You're chilling. Your mom's still there just waving at you. Like, how long are you going to stay here? Like the plane's still 40 minutes away. So, you know, this is the behavior of a person who is excited to meet their beloved. Is it arduous? It's not difficult. And by the way, the word difficult, it is actually a subjective word. Why do I say that? Anyone know why? Why is difficult something that is defined by the individual and not by a general definition? Why? Anyone having a thought about this? Yes? Beautiful. What's hard for me may not be hard for you, right? Because a person decides whether something is difficult for them or not, right? And I'll use the same example. If you're going to meet someone that you love and you have to take time away from work, you have to pump gas in your car, the airport's not close by, you have to make sure that, like, you know, you go through that crazy, turbulent, you know, airports, you know, traffic and park your car, get yelled at by that traffic, you know, officer that's always telling you to move your car. I mean, it's not easy, but it's not difficult for you because the love for the one that you love is greater than any sort of inconvenience that you can go through. So it's not burdensome for you. It's not something that you would consider an inconvenience. It's only an inconvenience when a person is doing something for somebody that they don't truly love, right? Like, if I'm doing somebody a favor that I don't really care about, yes, I can find every sort of inconvenience about it. But if I'm doing a favor for a person that I truly care about, never will I ever define that as a difficulty for me. Today, when I went home, in between tonight's class and from work earlier, my daughter woke up from her nap around 5 o'clock. And I was reading through my text for Soul Food tonight. I was also answering some phone calls. I was answering some emails. And my daughter woke up. My wife was taking a shower. And I decided to make her milk bottle, warm up, get it ready. But I was also, like, on my iPad just reading through. And because of my excitement to see my child, I had no issue with it. I had no problem with it. If I was making a bottle for some random person, like having to wake them up from a nap and like feeding them, I'd be like, oh my God, like, can't they tell that I'm busy? I'm doing so many things right now, I'm multitasking, etc. So it proves that when you love somebody, when you have a beloved in your life, the things that the generic human would find difficult is no longer difficult for you, right? And that's what he's saying the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so he says, this journey will take the believer to his Lord, and whoever does not know the path to his Lord will not traverse it. And there is no difference between such a person and an animal. And so the second thing he brings up is knowing the path to get to your Allah. How do you get to Allah? And he says a person who doesn't know that path to get to Allah will be lost, almost like an animal. And one of the scholars of this particular, you know, this text, that he gives a commentary about it, he says that even animals have a purpose. But a person who doesn't know the pathway, nor do they care about the pathway to Allah, they're even lesser than animals. Because animals don't just do anything randomly. Animals are actually very purposeful. So this person's reduced to even lower than an animal. So one must know the path to Allah. And in fact, I'll even share this with you guys. If a person cares and loves about a person so much, but they do not know how to get to them, it is actually painful for that person, right? And I want you guys, I mean, subhanAllah, let's talk about just pure context right now. There are family members in Gaza who have been cut off from connection of the internet, from phone lines, from any form of communication. And their family members who live around the world, some in America, they are dying to get any update from their beloved. They want an update. They want something. They want some sort of statement, some sort of message that you're still there. But not knowing how to get to them, having those lines of communication cut off from you, it's one of the greatest forms of torture that one can think about. Because I know there's a possibility of you being there. You're there. I know you're there. I know you're there. I know that if I reached you, me and you would have this amazing conversation. You and I would be speaking right now. But I don't know how to get to you. I don't know how to reach you. I don't know how to communicate with you. And that is something, the example of Gaza is something that's being forced upon people. Now imagine a person who does that to themselves. You would ask yourself the question, do you even love that person really? If you love them so much that you want to reach out to them, how could you possibly not know how to reach out to them? That tells you a little bit about the love itself. And so he says that there was a famous scholar, a pious man by the name of Dhul Nun. He said that the lowly, the people who are the lowest, are those who do not know the path to their Lord, nor do they seek to know it, nor do they care about it. And so he gives us like a hierarchy. If you want to know where you fall with Allah, check out this chart right here. And the chart is the highest. The person who is the closest to Allah is the person who knows the path to Allah and they're willing to travel that path. They know how to get there. They know the path to Allah is through the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Their salah, their dua, their dhikr. They know these things. And so, they know these things. And so, they know them, they have the knowledge of it, and they're also willing to act by that knowledge. You guys understand that? There's a difference of just knowing something versus acting on that knowledge. In fact, Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he says that knowledge without action, right? Having one without the other, knowledge without action is insanity. That a person who has the knowledge but they don't act by that knowledge, they're insane, majnoon. And a person who acts without knowledge, that person, he says, it's vanity. It's vain. That person thinks that they can just act and do whatever they want, but they don't know anything that they're actually doing. They're just doing things. It's like the Joker, right? When you look at the movies and you look at, you know, that character, he just says, like, I never have a plan. I just do things. So a person who just does things without a plan, without knowledge, that person's vain. They're just doing things because they think that they can. So the highest level of a believer is a person who knows Allah and they know how to reach Him and they are willing to act by it. The second layer, the second level, there are four levels. The second level is a person who they travel, but they don't know the path. They want to travel, but they don't know the path. They want Allah. They know Allah is there, but they don't necessarily know the path to get to Him yet. Think about like a new Muslim, right? Y'all ever seen new Muslims in your life? I mean, it is one of the most inspirational things. I mean, they talk about God as though they've been waiting for Him their entire life. Subhanallah, right? When people accept Islam, they say, like, I feel like I've always been Muslim. I feel like I've always felt this in my heart. I just didn't know how to get there. I just didn't know how to reach Allah. So if a person has that desire, they have that irada, they know they want to get to Allah, what's going to happen in due time? What are they going to find out? They're going to find out the way to get to Allah. Think about it, guys. A person who truly loves somebody, you know that statement, if there's a will, there's a way. Do you guys believe in that statement? Oh, I 100% believe in that statement. I've seen some people do some incredible things because they had like that desire in their heart, right? No, I can't do this, I can't do that. The minute they really want to, all of a sudden they're able to find the means of doing it. I talked to somebody, subhanAllah, like in my life one time where they were like, yeah, I know, I just can't pass this. I can't get a higher GPA than this. I just can't do it. Half of y'all feel this person's qualms, right? You're like, yes, who is this person? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them barakah in their life, right? No, this person was talking to me like, I don't have the ability to do it. And I said, no, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that you found your true desire for it. You have to find the reason why. I'm going to make a little joke here. It's not a joke because this is life, so I can't make a joke about his life. But sooner after that conversation, he, mashallah, got engaged. And he was graduating in about like a year and a half. And his parents told him that we don't want you to get married right now in college because this is going to distract you from your studies. Welcome to Desi 101, okay? This is going to distract you from your studies. And this guy, mashallah, he turned on the burners. Oh, this guy grinded through all his classes, nailed every exam. Mashallah, he graduated with a 4.0 GPA. You know what he had 2.5 years before? He had a 2.7. And so when I looked at him, and I actually went to his graduation, by the way. I went to his graduation, his college graduation, and I said, what happened to you? And he goes, Allah gave me inspiration. His wife, his fiance was sitting in the crowd, and mashallah, they got married like soon after he graduated. I said, look how Allah turns people's hearts. You think you can't do it. You think you can't do it. You think you can't do it. And all of a sudden, Allah gives you a little motivation and you find that you have potential that you never thought was there in the first place. Right? So they travel, but they don't know the path. The third level of a believer is a person who they know the path, but they do not travel. They know the path, but they do not travel. They know the path to Allah. They know how to get to Him. They know what salah is. They know what dhikr is. They know what dua is. But they're just too lazy to travel to Allah. They want Allah to do all the work. They want Allah to come to them. They don't want to go to Allah. And this is the example of a person who claims to love somebody, and they know how to pick up the phone and call them. They have their number. They have their lines of communication, but they refuse to pick up and call. They know, you know, if they moved out of their parents' home, they know their mother's numbers. They know their father's number. They claim to love their parents, but they never, ever pick up the phone and call. And so this is the third. This is the second to lowest. And there's only one lower than this. And he says, the fourth and the final level, the lowest and the furthest away from Allah, is a person who does not know the path, nor does he travel, and nor does he care. They have completely cut themselves off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even a person who somewhat knows the path to Allah, but they're too lazy to travel it, inshallah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them guidance, they will know the pathway to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now, he continues, and he says that the path to Allah is to journey through His straight path, with which He sent His messenger and for which He revealed His Qur'an. It is the path that He commanded the whole of creation to traverse upon. And he gives a famous statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he said that the path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left us on, one end of it is where he left us, and the other end of it was Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began our journey to paradise. I want you guys to think about that. That's a heavy statement. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he gave you a path in life where one side of it is on one end and the other side is Jannah. All you have to do is walk. All you have to do is walk. It's not like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left you on one highway in the middle of nowhere and the path to Jannah is a highway across the country. It's like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he left you on one side of the highway, and if you just continue to go down that highway without making any turns away from it, you would end up in paradise, Abdullah bin Mas'ud says. So he says, to its right and left are paths branching off and withstand people summoning those who pass by them. Whoever takes to those paths will end up in a punishment, but the one who remains on that path will end up in paradise. There's a very amazing, I want you guys to follow this hadith, it's so incredible. You guys look this up inshallah later in your own time and read through it. It's a hadith in Tirmidhi, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah, He gives us a example of the journey to Him through a very beautiful parable. A parable is an example. He says, there is a road that leads straight to the destination. Okay? A road that leads straight. I want you guys to almost be able to close your eyes and picture this hadith in your head. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the way, used to teach in such a way that people used to almost be able to close their eyes and imagine the teaching coming to life right in front of them. So he says that Allah has set forth the following as a parable, as an example, that there is a road that leads straight to the destination. It's a straight road. It doesn't have any curves. It doesn't have any, you know, drop-offs, or it doesn't have anything too difficult. It's just a straight road. But he says on either side of the road, there is a wall in which there are open doors with curtains hanging on them. So is everyone being able to picture this? So an empty road. And on each side, there are open doors, but there are curtains over those doors. So you can't really see straight through those doors on the side because there's curtains veiling what's through those doors, but you know that there's something there. And he says, from the end of the road, a voice calls to a believer. The voice says, proceed straight and don't turn to your left and to your right. And he says that whenever someone intends to lift a curtain from the door, another voice calls from above, And it says, "O believer, be wary. Do not lift that curtain, otherwise you will be lured inside. You're going to walk through, so don't even lift that curtain up." And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to his companions, do you want to know what this example is? He said that that straight path that I was talking about, that road, that is your deen. That's your faith. You're walking on it. You are living your faith. You're living your deen. That's why, by the way, if anyone's ever read certain parts of the Quran where Allah says, you know, the word deen is not just your religion, it's a way of life. It's a lens through which you see your life, right? And everything you do in your life, a person, a true Muslim, is always conscious of what their religion says about it. Whether it's a job or a friend, a family member, whatever it may be, an issue, a conflict in their life, they always look at Islam to see what Islam says about it. And so he says that that road is Islam. The walls on each side are the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places upon a believer. You don't go past that wall. As a believer, Allah put those walls there to protect you. Y'all ever went bowling before? Y'all know those people that bowl with the safety guards on? They ruin your entire hangout? I'm just kidding. May Allah reward you guys. Goes bowling with the safety guards on. You know, and think about it. How much harder is it to bowl without those guards up? Right? You're with your friends. You're like, yes, the score is at the end of 12 rounds, 2-6, right? Like, no one's going anywhere, right? Because every time you try to bowl, the ball goes into the gutter. The ball goes into the gutter. The ball goes into the gutter. Allah has put in front of everyone these barriers. Just because Allah does not want to see you go straight off the edge. He puts like a safety guard up for you. And those safety guards are you knowing that certain things in this life are just not supposed to be done. There are certain harms that Allah has taught you about, the messengers taught you about, that you don't want to go near. And so he says that those are the limits beyond which you do not go. And he says those open doors are the things that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited for you. Like those open doors Allah has prohibited for you. Why are those doors there? Because a person may ask, well, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want me to traverse those boundaries, why would he put open doors there for me? He put those open doors there because he has conviction in you as a believer that your love for him will actually disallow you from going near them. He knows it. Because if everything in this life was perfect, like you don't have any temptations, then what would be the point? What would be the point of this dunya? You know, people ask all the time, by the way, people who don't believe in Allah, they ask, like, if there truly is a God and God is good, why does God put so much evil in this world? Well, if there was no evil in this world, wouldn't we already be in Jannah? Have you guys ever thought about that? Wouldn't you already be in paradise? If there was no evil in this world, there was nothing for you to stay away from, wouldn't you already be in Jannah? What would there be to look forward to? If there was no poverty, if there was no hunger, if there was no tyranny, if there was none of that in this dunya, you would already be in Jannah, and it would never give a true good doer the opportunity to do good. Think about it. Even crises, I want you guys to think about it. Even crises in life give people the opportunity to show their goodness, to show what they're made of. And I want you to think about it in your own personal life. If Allah had not allowed you to go through some of your most lowest moments, would you have made some of your most beautiful dua? If Allah did not put you through some of the most difficult trials in your life, would you have made some of the most beautiful duas in your life? Perhaps those trials were the opening of the doors of your dua. Perhaps if Allah gave you ease the entire time, you would have never reached out to Him. If Allah gave you that easy, luxurious path that is so smooth and no trouble upon it, you would have never ever spoken to Allah, but it's because of those difficulties you spoke to Allah. Think about how many people are earning their Jannah right now in Gaza. It's a great prime example. We hate what's going on over there. We're sickened by it. But think about how much, you know, somebody posted something earlier this week that I was really inspired by. The pathway to Jannah right now is crowded. The pathway to Jannah right now is so crowded, subhanAllah. There are so many people bumping into each other right now, trying to get to the gates of paradise right now. Because Allah put people through trials and tribulations that are earning these people their Jannah right now. And He says, the voice which calls from the end of the road, That voice is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What voice is that? The voice that said, proceed straight and do not turn left or right. That voice is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time you want to take a left turn or a right turn, you go back to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and you say, no. Okay, the Prophet didn't turn left or right. He kept straight. He kept going. And then he says that the voice which calls from above is Allah's monitor in the heart of every believer. So when a person gets too close to a curtain and they want to lift that curtain to see what's through that door, he says that the voice that talks to you is actually your own voice. It's the voice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave within you. The voice within you that always tries to tell you stay up on the right path. This is your nafs al-lawama. The nafs within you that feels bad every time it goes away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Y'all ever, miss Fajr one day and you woke up and you felt extremely bad? That's good. That's a good feeling. We need to rewrite that narrative about how people automatically define guilt as a horrible feeling. Guilt is not a horrible feeling. Guilt is only bad when it actually causes more harm. If guilt causes good, that guilt was actually not innately bad. What if the guilt of you missing Fajr was actually what caused you to pray the other four prayers of that day? What if that guilt allowed you to pray those four prayers? So guilt is not always bad, okay? And then he gives you this beautiful ayah. I want you guys to really, really, this is, man, subhanAllah, this is so deep when I was reading it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Al-An'am, he says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ فَأَتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَقَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says, verily, this is my straight path. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. This is my straight path, Allah talks about. He says, this is my path. You're walking on my path. You're walking on the path of Allah. I want you guys to really think about that statement. Every Muslim that tries their best to stay close to Allah, you're traversing a path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for you. That's special. And he says, فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. So travel on it. Allah gave you this route. It's like a person who built you a road so that you wouldn't have to drive on gravel. And imagine the person who is so naive and so ignorant that they say, I see that smooth route, but you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and kill my wheels real quick. So Allah says, I made you this road. It's my road. Sirati mustaqima. It's my road. Fattabi'uhu. So travel on it. Wala tattabi'u subula. He says, fatafarraqa bikum an sabilihi. And don't go any other way, lest you be parted from my way. Don't go any other way because you don't want to go away from me. Allah is asking you to stay with him. And I want you guys to think about something really incredible. I wrote down here, how many of y'all are like GPS reliance? Y'all have no idea how to get from point A to point B. And this is, mashallah, this generation, I'm just kidding. This is also, alhamdulillah, right? Like my wife also said the same thing. My wife, I'm like, we live 5 minutes from a Kroger. And even with that, she turns her GPS on. I love her, alhamdulillah. But I'm like, I tell her, I'm like, you can just, you've gone to that Kroger like 80 times so far. Surely you know how to get there. She's like, just don't do this to me right now, okay? I just need my GPS, okay? Like, it's like almost like she just want to just entertain the conversation. So I want you guys to think about this ayah this way, where when a person puts in that kind of end goal on their GPS, on their maps, they have their destination that they try to reach. And that road that they're traveling upon is the sirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during that time, sometimes you'll miss a turn, right? And these are the mistakes that you make in life, your regular mistakes you make. You'll make a mistake, and because of that, you'll divert away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But guess what that map does for you? It reroutes you right back. Y'all ever seen that? It reroutes you right back. When you mess up once, you mess up twice, your app will automatically just tell you to make that U-turn right back to that original road that you were on, right? And you just got to get back onto that main road. But a person who diverts so much, right? And this is where Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. But when a person diverts so much, they're not just like making small mistakes anymore, just like every other human being does. They are now making mistakes so great that now their map thinks that the new route that they constantly take is actually their original route. And so that person no longer remembers the route of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. They're so far away from it. They're so used to leaving it. They have traversed away from it so often that they forgot what their original route even was. They forgot where they were going. In the beginning, I thought I was supposed to go to that grocery store, but I kept on getting distracted so often that 10 minutes down the line, I actually don't even remember what I left the house for anymore. So don't allow your hearts to ever deviate so much to the point where now your internal map thinks that the route that you always take is the route that's supposed to be normal. Rather, the route that Allah laid out for you is the route that, and it's almost like, you know, I always give this analogy, it's almost like a rubber band, right? A person who truly loves Allah, no matter how much you stretch that rubber band, it will always go right back to its shape. But a person who has lost the memory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, it's like that rubber band that snaps. Once that rubber band snaps, it will no longer go back in place ever again. And this is why, by the way, there's a very famous dua. A very famous dua. I want you guys to all just kind of think about this dua. This dua, Allah in the Quran, he says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, رَبَّنَا, he tells the believers to say, O our Lord, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. Do not allow our hearts to zigh, to like bend, curve away. قُلُوبَنَا بَعَدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. After you have guided us. You know, and it's incredible. You also want to like a really interesting fact here. The word zagha, right? That word that's used in that dua, they used to call a za'ir back in the day, like in olden times. A za'ir was a person who used to actually dig graves. And I want you guys to think, but before technology allowed people to like dig graves the way that we do nowadays, a person back in the day when they would dig graves, like they would basically go into that grave and dig far in, and they would come out, and what do they see? It's not like a solid, it's like super like messed up because they were in it. They couldn't see it from the top down. They were actually in it digging. So they used to call them za'il. So when you make this dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, you're basically asking Allah to never allow your heart to like move away from Him gradually. Because people don't lose Allah overnight, guys. I fundamentally do not believe that this can happen. I do not believe that overnight a person from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the night before, the next night they've completely forget Allah. Like, our heart's not built to do stuff like that. What does happen though is that a person who loses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala little by little, day by day, hour by hour. A person pray five times a day and then they start missing some of their salawat. They miss their Isha. And then after a while, that Isha does not seem that big of a deal to them. So now their Maghrib is a little bit kind of like in question. Then after a while, they lose their Maghrib. And then their yearning to go to the masjid once every couple of days has completely left their heart. They don't want to do it anymore. And I want you guys to think about your own personal life. And I reflect back in my own life about this a lot, by the way. I think to myself, like, the moments in my life where I used to like slowly lose the will and the desire to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it was like the masjid or my own personal ibadah, my own personal worship, I remember by the end of that week, I didn't feel like doing anything. I didn't feel like doing anything. But the weeks where I was good with Allah, I felt like everything else in my life clicked. Like my studies clicked. My relationship with my family clicked. My friend circles were all like, alhamdulillah, like we were good. It was always those times where I started to stray away from Allah, where I felt like the rest of my life began to crumble as well. So this dua, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا, it's so important. Why? Because you understand that your heart does not just go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overnight. Shaitan tries to tell you that it's not a big deal. Oh yeah, who cares, man? Like it's just Isha, it's just one Isha, who cares? But that one Isha turns into another Maghrib. That other Maghrib turns into another Asr. That other Asr turns into one Dhuhr. And all of a sudden, like, a person who used to pray so often, a person who used to talk to Allah so often, they don't even care anymore. Go back to what we talked about. They not only, they knew the path at one point, but they didn't want a journey. And now that person doesn't even know the path anymore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. So this last part here, inshallah, I'll share this with you guys. This last part here is a very, very powerful reminder from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. So Ibn al-Qayyim here, he says that we will expound upon the straight path in a succinct manner, for the people have explained it in various ways, all of them revolving around this one essential truth. The sirat and the path to Allah, which He has put in place to lead mankind to Him, there is no path to Him other than this one, which He appointed upon the tongues of His messengers. It is to single Him out alone for worship, and to single out His messengers alone for obedience. Therefore, none should commit shirk in His worship, just as none should commit shirk in following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One should purify their tawheed, their oneness of Allah, and purify his following of the Messenger. One thing I want to share, by the way, this is so important here. A person cannot have La ilaha illallah without having Muhammad Rasulullah. This is not possible. You know, we live in a very dangerous time where people speak these lofty words and they don't realize the heaviness of what they're saying. We're all the same. Oh, we all believe in the same God. And the reality is that that is actually a very dangerous statement to make. We do not all believe in the same thing. Absolutely not. Because a person who claims that we're all the same, they're saying that you also testify to Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Because anytime a person loses what their deen is, all they have to do is go back to the Prophet ﷺ and remind themselves, hey, this is what this person did. This was the closest person to Allah. So when the closest person to Allah does something some way, I know if I try to just remotely emulate what that was, I will be somewhere in the ballpark. Y'all ever tried to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, had no idea what you were doing? You're just doing it? But I can guarantee you one thing though. I can guarantee you after you did it, you felt good though. You're like, hey, no idea what that dua just meant, but I nailed it, right? I had no idea what fast I just fasted, but I know the Prophet ﷺ used to do it, so alhamdulillah, I'm good. It's like knowing that a person who just like did it so well, if you just copy them, I'm going to give you a horrible example here, but please follow me. It's almost, I don't condone cheating. But if a person like cheats off of a person in a classroom and they know that that person is like the smartest person ever, they do everything right, and I have no idea what I'm doing. If I just follow what that person does, I know that I'll get somewhere in the ballpark. This is the example of a person who decides to follow the Prophet ﷺ. You know what? I may not be a great Muslim. I may not even be a good Muslim. I may just be Muslim. But I try my hardest at every given point to copy what the Prophet ﷺ did. You know the companions, by the way, radiallahu anhum, they used to say this. Sometimes people would come up to them, they would be like, Ya Umar, Ya Abu Bakr, Ya Ali, why do you do that? Why are you doing it this way? And they'd be like, man, I just saw the Prophet ﷺ do it one time, and that's it. And they're like, don't you want to know why he did it like that? And they're like, we just knew that man was close to Allah. So if we do this, we're all right. How incredible. How incredible of a mentality. And he says that this is the full import of the testification that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. All of the various explanations give to the straight path fall under these two principles. You must love him with all your heart, and you must try to please him to the utmost of your ability. There should not be any area of your heart except that is overflowing with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should have no desire except to please him. The first point is to realize through actualizing none has the right of worship to be worshipped other than Allah. And the second point is realized through the actualization of Muhammad as a messenger of Allah. This is guidance and the religion of truth, and this is knowing the truth and acting upon it. This in turn is knowing what he sent his messenger with, living by it. All definitions revolve around this essential concept. Sahil ibn Abdullah said, right here at the very bottom, he says that Sahil ibn Abdullah said, stick to the narrations and the sunnah, for I fear that a time will come when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the importance of following him in every and everything is mentioned, the people would censure the person who says this, cause others to flee from him, disassociate themselves from him, humiliate him, and disgrace him. Basically, what he's talking about here is that there will come a time where people will actually ridicule those who try to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will come a time where people will start being like, oh, you're just doing that because he did it and you have no idea why he did it. He said that there will come a time where people ridicule that. But know that those who are closest to Allah, they follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was close to Allah. And if you have any desire in your heart to be close to Allah, you want to be close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why we'll end with this, inshallah, this ayah right here. Allah, he says in a very particular ayah, I want you guys to kind of maybe look this up in your free time. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He says that in the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we've given you a tremendous example. A tremendous example, a beautiful pattern. And obviously, the person who wants to know who this example is for, they read the next part of it. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ. For anyone whose hopes are in Allah and in the hereafter. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And those who remember Allah often. And I want you guys to think about this one point here today to end today's session, inshallah. That those who want to grow close to Allah, all they have to ask themselves is, are my hopes with him? Are my hopes with Allah and in the hereafter? Because people whose hopes are ultimately in this dunya will never be satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will never be satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do for their life. Because their end is right here. And when you look at people in Palestine right now who are being harmed and abused, why do you think that Allah will never, ever ultimately allow them to lose? Because their hopes are not here. How do you destroy a people who literally, when you threaten them, they say, Hasbunallaha wa ni'mal wakil. Y'all seen those videos this past couple weeks? These people, moments before they are harmed, moments before they are killed, they say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They say, Hasbunallaha wa ni'mal wakil. They say, Alhamdulillah. How is that possible? Because a normal human being, when they are going through such tremendous harm, they are not thinking anything close to gratitude of God. They're in fact thinking the opposite. Why me? How could this happen to me? I pray. I give charity. I fast in Ramadan. Why would Allah allow me to go through with it? Why would Allah allow me to go through this? But you look at the people of Palestine, and I'll tell you why. Because لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ. Their hopes are with Allah and the hereafter. They're not afraid of it, man. They will not be broken by people's threats of this dunya. You take away my home in this dunya, Allah will give me a palace next life. You take away like my sanity, my peace in this dunya, Allah will give me eternal tranquility in the hereafter. Go ahead, try your worst. How do you destroy people like that? The people that are easily harmed are the people who think that this dunya is their end all be all. And when you destroy their world, the rest of them is also destroyed. But when you destroy the world of people that actually believe in the afterlife, they know that you just kind of like ruined some of it. That's not all of it though. That's not all of it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, that never ever say that the people who were destroyed or harmed or killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the martyrs, never ever say amwat, that they're dead. Bal ahiyaun, rather they are alive. They're alive, y'all. They're flying. They're soaring. The ones who are actually dead inside, Allah, he describes them, khatama Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala absarihim. These people, they have physical hearts that are beating. They have physical ears that hear. They have physical eyes that see. But they are absolutely dead inside. They're not human beings. So Islam gives you this incredible ability to rewrite what perspective actually is. What you see is not always what the end is. That those who are close to Allah and their hopes and dreams are with Allah, they will never ever be destroyed ever. Because you can take away a person's house in this dunya, but you will never be able to take away their house in the hereafter next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what our ultimate hopes are, is that we ultimately want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people of iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who our hopes are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are not destroyed, we are not distraught by the trials and tribulations of this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the people of Gaza relief. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the people of Gaza freedom from this occupation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the highest levels of Jannah for their sacrifices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them relief from their trials. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward every parent who has lost their child with ultimate rewards in paradise with those same children. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the same iman that He has given the people of Gaza. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be united with those inspirational Muslims in the hereafter. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallah khairan, everybody. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Inshallah, we'll continue on our series next Thursday. And next Thursday's topic, by the way, if anyone's curious, inshallah, is how a person... Oh, this is going to hit deep, inshallah. Next Thursday's session is going to be how a person's end will ultimately decide their fate in the hereafter, inshallah. So we all hear about innamal a'malu bin niyya, but there's also a hadith that says innamal a'malu bil khawatim, that a person's deeds are depending upon their ending, inshallah. So we'll talk about that next Thursday. Jazakallah khairan, everybody. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.